Chapter 9. Taking a Stand. How to Do Hard Things That Go Against the Crowd. Ava lives in a rural part of Germany, where almost everyone is Christian, yet few are serious about following Christ. The consensus in her village, she told us in an email, is that religion won't hurt you, and it just might be helpful in rough times. So when Ava, at 16, decided to really live for God, she immediately found herself at odds with the culture, particularly the youth culture in her region, which revolves around weekend parties where students forget about school and drink a lot of alcohol. In Ava's world, these parties aren't considered add-ons to your social life. They are your social life. Even the parents in her village accept them as normal. Nearly every conversation at school during the week is tied back to the parties. It's always, "Did you see that girl with Jason?" Or, "Were you there when Daniel started dancing with the DJ?" As soon as the gossip from last week's party fades, planning for the next one begins. Life is lived from one weekend to the next, and to be part of the in crowd, you have to be there. Everyone expects Ava to attend, but she's a Christian now. Should she choose to stay home, even if it makes her a social outcast? Maybe she could just go and stand in the corner. She wouldn't want people to think Christians can't have any fun, would she? Have you ever had to make a decision like Ava's? Maybe it was whether to go along with the group to watch a certain movie. Maybe it was not buying a certain outfit because it drew attention in the wrong way. Or maybe your teacher asked you to share your opinion in a class discussion on ethics. Suddenly, a dozen pairs of eyes are turned on you. Your heart begins pounding faster and louder. Your cheeks burn red. This is your chance to stand up for what you believe, but you're afraid. What will people think? What if you say something wrong? Why is this so difficult? In this chapter, we focus on the fifth and final kind of revolutionary hard thing, taking a stand, even when it's unpopular. This is one of the hardest things for teens, or anyone really, to do. It goes against our natural desire to fit in, to be liked, to make friends. There's nothing quite like it for putting our convictions to the test. We'll look honestly at some of the costs of that decision. You could lose friends and popularity. You could lose opportunities. In some countries, you could even lose your life. But we'll also look at some of the genuine blessings that can come as a result of standing up for what's right. It all boils down to a principle at the heart of Christian character. We have to care more about pleasing God than we care about pleasing man. As Ava is discovering, a decision like that changes almost everything about the way you live. All of Ava's turmoil and indecision faded away when she came across the words Jesus prayed for his disciples and for everyone who will believe throughout the ages. "I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." From that point onward, Ava knew she couldn't go on living like her peers. She was an ambassador, belonging to the kingdom of God, not to Germany or its youth culture. She lived in a world of parties, but she didn't have to be part of it anymore. And if the world hated her for her choice, so be it. Her mission wasn't to fit in. It was to be faithful. Ava realized, as we must, that a changed heart will result in a changed life, that true saving faith in Jesus Christ will show in our actions. The Apostle James wrote, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Now please understand that although we are saved by faith alone, true saving faith doesn't stay alone. We have a faith that works. This is not a call to parade religiosity around, but it does mean that a true Christian faith will permeate our lives. It means that whether you watch a certain movie or laugh at a certain joke tells you and others something about the state of your heart. For Ava, it meant that just going along with the crowd wasn't an option. If being a Christian doesn't change the way I act on the outside, she reasoned, then how can I say that there was any real change on the inside? Remember the Old Testament story of Joseph getting sold into slavery by his jealous older brothers? Years later, when a famine has swept the land and the brothers are begging for food, they meet up again with Joseph, who has risen to become a ruler of Egypt and the keeper of the food storehouses. When they realize who Joseph is, the brothers fear for their lives. But Joseph reassures them with a memorable insight that any revolutionary who's taken a few hits will appreciate. Joseph tells his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." When we take a stand for God, we'll often suffer persecution of different kinds. But God is at work. Good is being accomplished in many lives, and so often, we are the beneficiaries. Ava's decision to forgo the weekend parties provided her with many unexpected benefits, including the opportunity to grow closer to her family. "I did lots of things with my brother and sisters," Ava laughs, "and we had lots of fun together." Not only that, but over time, the school situation got better as well. "My classmates began to respect me," Ava told us. "They couldn't always understand my behavior, but they tolerated it." And even though she was still sometimes branded an outsider at school, Ava did get to know some really nice girls. "We started driving to school together, and we studied for our exams," she says. "Doing such normal things helped them realize that I wasn't a strange kid." Most important, Ava feels that God protected her from a lot of heartache and pain. "I was kept safe and pure for Him," she explains. "He gave me strength and wisdom and didn't let me become lonely." What Ava learned is that the right thing, though hard, really is the smartest, and in many ways, the easier thing. Easier, you ask? Consider, 10 years from now, if you were to ask Ava's partying classmates what they thought was harder, staying home from all the parties for 2 years of high school, or dealing with the consequences of alcohol and drug addiction, broken relationships, unwanted pregnancies, and sexually transmitted diseases, they'd probably say that Ava made the easier choice. And they'd be right. For Ava, doing the hard thing of taking a stand really ended up being the easier choice in the end. And even though doing the right thing won't always result in an obvious benefit for us in this life, it will in the life to come. It's like the quote by Jim Elliot, whose life was cut short tragically when he and 4 friends were killed bringing the gospel to the Auca people in Ecuador. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." When we understand that, doing the hard thing of taking a stand will always be the easiest choice. Through every stand, God will strengthen our convictions and our faith, and we'll be prepared for even bigger challenges in the future. Here are 6 principles we suggest to guide revolutionaries in choosing to take a stand. Number 1, start with the Bible. Number 2, examine yourself. Number 3, listen to your conscience. Number 4, seek godly counsel. Number 5, be humble, loving, and bold. Number 6, be part of the solution. Start with the Bible. What does God's Word say on this topic? Even if the activity isn't directly forbidden, is it in line with scriptural principles in general? Ava found the answer to her questions by reading John chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. She wasn't supposed to be defined by this world. She was to be defined by Christ. Being a regular student of God's Word is the best way to ensure that you know when and how to stand. Examine yourself. Don't get caught up trying to get a speck out of someone else's eye and ignore the log sticking out of your own. Challenging cultural norms starts with you and with the commands from God you already know but may be used to ignoring. This doesn't mean you have to be perfect before you can instruct anyone else, but it does mean that you must be fighting the fight yourself. People who aren't even trying to practice what they preach are called hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Listen to your conscience. Our conscience is our God-given sense of what is right and what is wrong. And as we read and apply His Word, it becomes more finely tuned. If you find yourself thinking that it might be time to take a stand, it's probably because your conscience is flashing the warning lights. Listen up. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about people whose consciences are seared by constant ignoring. Society expects young people to enjoy doing stuff they know is wrong, but they're not counting the cost. If you can't do something with a clear conscience, even if other people can, you shouldn't be doing it. Seek godly counsel. Unless you simply don't have time to ask for advice, for example, when you have to make a fast decision, you should always seek the opinion of those who are more godly and experienced than you. Tell them what you think God's Word says about the topic, as well as what your own conscience tells you. Then ask them what they would do in your position. Be humble, loving, and bold. The attitude with which you take a stand says just as much as the stand itself. People who always seem to be looking for a fight, who treat those who disagree with them with contempt, or who take a stand out of anger or retaliation, cause more harm than good. We can and must stand boldly, even forcefully if the situation requires it. But our standing should always be done with loving humility. We must hate the sin, not the sinner. Apart from God's grace, not one of us is saved or sanctified. Be part of the solution. Don't get a reputation for always being against everything. Be for something. Try not to point out problems without providing solutions. Make it your goal to show people a better way, God's way, not just that their current direction is wrong. Our ultimate goal is not just that those around us would stop joining the world's ways, but that they would learn to love and embrace God's way. We can accomplish this by being passionate ambassadors, eager to proclaim the goodness of God and stand for Him before the watching world. And as revolutionaries, our stand for what is good and right today will have an even bigger impact than we may realize. The film Amazing Grace tells the inspiring story of William Wilberforce's long fight to end the slave trade in the British Empire. But our first glimpse of the man is not standing in the halls of Parliament, inspecting a rotting slave ship, or meeting with the colorful members of the famous Clapham sect. Instead, director Michael Apted introduces Wilberforce to us as a man willing to stop his carriage in the pouring rain and slog through the mud in order to stop several men from beating their weary horse. If you let it rest for a bit, it should get up on its own, Wilberforce informs them, now sopping wet himself. Apted's point is clear. This man stands up for the oppressed wherever and whenever he finds them, not just in the House of Lords, and not just when the world is watching. It wasn't Martin Luther's first stand when he nailed his 95 Theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. He had learned to trust God with his life long before he was summoned before the Holy Roman Emperor and given the choice to either recant or be branded a heretic and thrown outside the protection of the law. There, before the most powerful men of his day, he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other. So help me God." The God Luther prayed to had been faithful many times before, and whether Luther would lose his life or keep it, he knew that his God would be faithful again. Neither Wilberforce nor Luther could have stood against the evils and injustices of their times if they hadn't first learned to stand against the evil in their own hearts and in the hearts of those around them. We are no different. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Ultimately, God is the one who gives us the strength to stand in any situation. But we must also recognize that much of that grace and strength is made available through the numerous opportunities He gives us on a daily basis to practice trusting Him enough to actually obey Him, even when it costs us something. Standing up for God in big, sometimes public, sometimes dangerous situations is made possible in part because we have stood up for God countless times before. Every time we do the right thing in God's name, we flex and build our muscles. If we can't trust God with our popularity now, during high school, how will we ever trust Him with our lives on the mission field? If we can't stand for Him now in the classroom, how will we stand for Him in the courtroom when it really matters? Take a minute to think about this chapter and answer these questions. Is there a stand you know you should be taking, but haven't? Is there something in your life you know is wrong, but continue to do? If a challenge comes to mind, don't ignore it. Take a first revolutionary step. The hard thing you're contemplating may be the biggest, most difficult, and most rewarding hard thing you've ever done. Don't miss this good thing God is inviting you to do, and don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. Doing what is right always matters, and it matters now.